So we were at truth number one last week. Just to recap, truth number one basically is to tell your prospect the universality of sin, problem of sin. I mean, sin is a universal problem, it's a worldwide problem. As long as you are human, you have this problem. Okay? Whatever status, whatever race, whatever gender, whoever you are, you have this problem. And what is this problem? This problem is the problem of sin, which is the transgression of the law. And whose law? It is God's law. God's law, that is, that we have transgressed. Jeff, are you good outside? Okay, good. And God's law, as you go through the various examples of sin, remember? Examples of sin, and my suggestion was to use the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments. And remember, there was this sin in the Ten Commandments that is very common, that you practice it right from day one when you were born, and that is telling lies, untruth, right? So God's law is being broken regularly, every day, every minute. That is what you need to emphasize. And the last point, which is very important, is you need to tell that person that no matter how good you think you are still a sinner. And remember the illustration that stretches off Malacca or Johor, no matter how good a long distance jumper you are, we all land in the same ditch. And the same illustration is that no matter how good a person you are, we are all sinners. Alright? So, and remember that summary. So, if God's standard, you need to remind the person, if God's standard is perfection, way up here, and I've already shown you that no one is perfect, no one comes close. So the question is, how many will be able to make it to heaven by yourself? Very simple answer. Nobody. Okay? So, it may be easier than you think to convince your soul-winning prospect that he or she is a sinner. That part is not so difficult. Truth number one is not so difficult to make that person agree. The next challenge, which is truth number two, is more difficult but not impossible with the help of the Holy Spirit, is to seek his agreement with truth number two, which is the penalty for sin. Penalty for sin. In other words, the sinner has to agree and believe that there are consequences for his sin problem. That is truth number two. Consequences for his sin problem, and that is penalty for sin. So the first point to go to is to talk about justice of judgment. Justice of judgment. And this judgment, which is God's judgment, is basically to execute justice on sinners. And a good verse to quote would be Romans 6:23, which we are all familiar with, right? For the wages of sin is death. And the word wages may need some definition, and a very easy to understand, very commonly used definition would be to relate it to salary. Very simple, just ask the person, are you working? Have you ever worked before? Maybe even a part-time job? What do you receive in return for your effort, for your work? A salary, that is wages. So according to the Bible, we deserve something. We deserve not a salary, not a reward, but we deserve something because of our sin. What do we deserve? We deserve death. We deserve judgment and death because of our sin. Right? So that is a good way to relate, to help that person to understand what it means by for the wages of sin is death. Right? And something which I will not touch on here is to also define death. I remember the other day Sister Dolly, Sister Sharon and we were talking about death. You know, how to tell a person what is death. Alright? Death can be explained sometime as separation from God. Alright? Separation from God. So because of our sin problem, we are separated from God. Eh? Okay, so from here, after Romans 6:23, I would go on to describe judgment. I will go on to try to describe what is this punishment that God will execute. Interestingly, do you know that Jesus talked more about judgment in hell than about heaven in the Bible? More is mentioned about judgment in hell. Maybe, because maybe heaven is for us to find out when we are there. But judgment in hell is to warn us not to go there. Right? So let's look at some ways that Jesus described the judgment in hell. That goes to point number two, description of judgment. There are various verses that I would use, one of them being Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. Judgment, right? The punishment that we get in hell, basically, firstly, would be judgment, as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. So God will judge. God will judge sinners. Another description of hell would be three ways to describe the same thing: everlasting fire, fire unquenchable, and lake of fire. Basically, you want to bring it across to that person that hell is not imagery. Hell is not just something to frighten, right, people. Hell is real, and hell has everlasting fire, unquenchable. And even after you're dead, you're burned until you're left with your bone, you're still burning, right? And that is hell. Another description of hell is second death. Second death, as stated in Revelation 21 verse 8, which we will look at more later. This is the second death. And again, this might call for a bit of explanation. Second death doesn't mean that you die two times, but the first time, which we will all experience, is the physical death, right? Second death is the eternal separation. Remember, death, separation, eternal separation from God in hell, right? Sinners will experience this second death. Okay, all right. So far we have gone through the justice of judgment. That judgment is to execute, is to bring about justice, and then you give the person some description about judgment in hell. Just now I mentioned that this second truth is slightly more difficult to convince your prospect. Why? Because, of course, as we know, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4 tells us that a God of this world, Satan, have blinded the minds of them which believe not. Now, have you ever asked yourself sometimes why this person that you keep sharing the gospel to, he just don't understand, he just don't get it? Is it something wrong with you, something wrong with the way you share it? It may not be. Of course, sometimes it might be, you know, but a lot of times it may not be. It's the Satan's work, blinding the unbeliever, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine up unto them. Right? They have been blinded. They couldn't see the gospel. So this task of convincing the person about the penalty for sin is more difficult because of this. And worse still, if your prospect is a free thinker or a modernist. Doesn't mean that he's very fashionable, you know. Modernist, post-modernist, alright? Meaning that his thinking is that, for example, nobody should tell me what is right or wrong. That is what a modernist believes. Nothing is absolute. You can't tell me that the Bible is God's truth. No, you cannot say that, alright? Nothing is absolute. You can't tell me what is right from wrong, or wrong. And if you meet that kind of person who is either a free thinker or a modernist, then he most likely will be blinded by the deception that there is no need to be accountable to any higher being for his sin. No need. There's no need. Because nobody can tell him what is right or wrong. So, who am I accountable to? And if he's a free thinker, he has no God, who is he accountable to? Right? So if you get that kind of person, then you're almost quite stuck. You're almost quite, because you, but anyway, our goal as a soul winner, our duty is still to proclaim that there is a God and that there is a penalty for sin. Right? So, irregardless, even if you meet a free thinker or a modernist, which there are many in Singapore, and your job is still to go on. So, we may go on to say that God's judgment may seem harsh and unthinkable. Right? This is the point where somebody might say, but if God is love, why would he send anybody to hell? Right? You hear that a lot. Yes, God is love. But God is also truth. God is also truth. Right? And because God is holy and just, he must punish sin. He must punish sin. And that brings us to the third point, necessity of judgment. There is a need to judge sinners. And I would use Genesis chapter 18, verse 25, which says, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the very simple answer is yes. The judge of all the earth, that is God, do right. True justice means that sin cannot be overlooked. So, if sin is a universal problem, and everyone is born with the nature of sin, and everyone makes his decision to be a sinner, then they have to be judged. It is only true justice that requires them to be judged. Sin cannot be overlooked. And a good illustration which I have used many times is how the judicial laws are being enforced in Singapore. I mean, everybody knows Singapore is a very lawful country, right? We even put it on our t-shirt and are proud about it. So just give an example. For example, you just ask the person, for example, you beat the traffic light and then you have to appear before the judge, right? And the judge, maybe Justice Yong, is he still around? Maybe not around anymore. Yeah, Justice Yong would say that, okay, maybe today is my daughter's birthday, you know, so I want to be kind, and I'll let you go this time, free, you know? No penalty, nothing. So you ask that person, would that be fair? Would that be fair? Right? A normal person would answer no, not fair. Alright? So, that is just a very simple illustration to bring across to that person that likewise, God must punish sin and judge sinners. God cannot say, because I have punished many today, so I want to be kind and let a few off. Because today is it's Christmas Day, my anniversary or whatever, you know, so I want to let go, punish less. No, that cannot be done. Alright? God must punish sinners. God must judge sinners. Okay? And therefore, if God were to overlook your sin, you tell the person, and let you into heaven without punishing you, knowing that you are a sinner, knowing that you have committed several sins, but still let you into heaven, you ask that person, would that be justice? Would that be justice? No, it would not be fair and just. Alright? So, your goal is to get a person to agree with you. Hopefully, by then, he has agreed with you, truth number one, that he has the sin problem. and then by now that he would agree with you that he deserved to be judged. He deserved to be judged. So let's go on to talk about the fourth point, recipients of judgment. Let's look at who are some of those that God will send to hell. And we will look at Revelation 21, verse 8. And this is probably the most difficult verse to memorize in this Netcaster soul winning course. I can't remember a single thing or now. Right. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Let's go through briefly each one of them, who God will send to hell. The fearful. Open up your Bible. I mean, not now. I mean, at a time. Open up your Bible. Show that person. Ask him to read this verse. Show that person one at a time. Who are the fearful? The fearful could be describing those who, out of fear, dare not believe God. Out of fear of what others might say and never turn to Christ. Those will end up in hell. The unbelieving, literally are those unbelievers who do not believe in God. Abominable, many in this world today. Abominable, the perverts, the wicked, those are the abominable. Murderers, enough said. Alright, murderers. Whoremongers, the fornicators, the adulterers, the prostitutes and all those. Sorcerers. The word translated sorcerer refers to, literally, drug usage. Drug usage. Okay? I don't think it refers to Panadol and all that. But drug usage, which referring to also the occult. The occult. Those people who are involved in voodoo and things like black magic. Yeah. Yes. Many again in this world. Idolaters, you understand? Those are those who worship idols. Alright? And one last one. Did you notice that?
All liars.
Lest one admit to none of the above. Anyone here? No, don't have to tell me. Alright? Lest one does not admit to any of these, the Lord Jesus sees fit to put in one more in this verse. All liars. Even as it takes one murder to make one a murderer, it takes only one lie to make one a liar. So, this is where you're coming to. This is where you want that person, your prospect, to see here. That, remember, in truth number one, we talk about some sins in the Ten Commandments. Which, what is one of them that almost everyone, in fact, everyone in this world have partake of it? To speak the untruth. False witness. Ask that person, have you ever lied? Ask that person this question. Have you ever lied? Oh yes, I have, but it was a white lie. No. Have you ever lied? Oh yes, I had. I needed to. Was that a lie? Yes, it was a lie. Have you ever lied? Yes. How many times do you have to ask me? Yes. Alright? So what does the Bible say that all liars deserve? The second death. This is how you slowly bring that person to acknowledge that he has a part in the lake of fire. You are trying to tell that person all are guilty. no difference of one's sin, whether it is the blatant obvious sin or the more subtle hidden sin. No, a sin is a sin and a sinner is a sinner, right? So whether you're a liar or a murderer, all are sinners, and every sinner have a part in the second death. That is why you're going to, alright? So after this, bringing the person through the 4 points, justice of judgment, description of judgment, necessity of judgment, recipient of judgment, hopefully you have come to that point to make the person see that he has a part in the lake of fire. And last week I jump ahead, alright, because this is where we would ask this very, very important question. At this point, after presenting two truths, does anyone know what is the third truth? If you know the Romans Road, you should know. First, you are a sinner. Because of your sin, you deserve to go to hell. God, I hear the word God.
God loves you.
God loves you.
God provided.
Come on, one only, one, just one. Christ, gift of God is Christ. Because God loves you, right? You're going to talk about Jesus Christ. That's the third one. And that is the good one. That's the good news, right? So at this point, it would be good to say something like this. No, let's face it. The first two truths are bad news. Bad news. Number one, you are a sinner. Number two, because of your sin, you deserve to go to hell. And I'll get to the good news in a while. Right? But let me pause and ask you two questions, and I hope you'll be honest with me. Number one, if you died right now, where would you go? Based on the two truths from the Bible, where would you go? Hopefully, as I did with that lady at the door, she told me, hell. She gave the correct answer, hell, based on the two truths, the lake of fire. Second question, are you concerned? Are you concerned about it? Alright? These are very good questions which you can use to try to convict that person, to try to not to really scare that person. That's not what you want to do. You want to really, out of compassion, convict the person, help that person to see that you are a sinner. And because of your sin, you have a part in the lake of fire, and I hope that you are concerned. Right? Don't soften this truth. This truth number two is very, very convicting. Right? It can be very, very hurtful. Right? But it is very real. It is the truth. But so give it with compassion. Right? If the person understands these two truths, give the correct answer, proceed on. Proceed on to truth number three, which I will touch on next week. If he does not understand, where do you think, if you were to die right now, where do you think you would go? Heaven. Why? Because I try to do this, I try to do that, and because my dad is a Christian, my mom is a pastoress or whatever, all that kind of thing. If he does not understand, then you probably need to review. Keep teaching. If he denies truth, if he talks about evolution or whatever, then keep going. Continue to teach. Right? Whatever the case might be, you need to keep on presenting the truth. This Netcaster soul winning course is not about It's not apologetics. It's not about answering tough questions. No, it's very simple. It's just about presenting the gospel. It's just about using Bible verses, scriptures to present the three truths and the one decision. That's about it. It's not about how to argue. If someone did ask this question, counter with A. Ask that question, counter with B. You know, all the kung fu soap all come out. No, it's not that. All right. So, so far two truths. And the next week when we meet again, we'll present the good news. All right.